Everything's a MOBA now. This is Boop, video game news you can use for August 25th, 2014. I'm Scott. Everybody, welcome back to the Boop Show. This is the Boop Show, episode 9. And I asked the question because I'm serious. We'll get to the news in a minute. Why does everything have to be a MOBA now? Just like everything had to be a shooter before or in the past. Sometimes RTSs, but man, the MOBA thing. It's too easy to adapt is the problem, right? You could make a Firefly MOBA or a freaking CSI MOBA. Golden Girls MOBA. Oh, man. When B. Arthur procs her height ability. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Too many MOBAs, man. Just because you have a property and it's like, I don't know, you're a comic book company or you're a damn movie studio or you got a... another kind of game, like this new Witcher MOBA that's being tested right now, set in the Witcher universe. It wasn't enough to just have the damn Witcher. We got to have him playing the middle lane and jungling. It's probably okay that this is going on. It's probably not that big of a deal. And we'll all survive, but I think it's a bit much. When's it going to stop? Where's the Team Fortress MOBA? When's that happening? Never is my hope. There is so much news today, I can sink my teeth into it and taste it. And so should you from where you sit. Did you hear about Amazon buying Twitch? It was supposed to be Google. Remember that whole deal? Everybody was freaking out and, oh no, Google's going to ruin everything. And now we can all freak out and say Amazon's going to ruin everything, right? Got to say, though, I'm a little bit less worried. Because now I think Twitch will be less likely to have to fit into whatever round hole or square peg hole that Google would want to try to fit it into, because before they kind of had the YouTube model, whatever the model is with YouTube. And, you know, in some ways this conflicts with YouTube in terms of live streaming, but then again, it offers this game focus, but then again, why would they want to just focus on that? And then they had the whole like copyright claim stuff, and that was a big deal. And, you know, Twitch was scrambling, it seemed anyway, to get in line with what Google standards would be. Apparently they were getting in line with what Amazon standards would be or are. But yeah, it's official. When I started putting the notes together for the show, it wasn't official, but now it is. And here is the letter from the CEO at Twitch.tv, dated August 25th, 2014. That's today. Dear Twitch community, it's almost unbelievable that slightly more than 3 years ago, Twitch did not exist. The moment we launched, we knew we had stumbled across something special, but what followed surprised us as much as anyone else, and the impact it has had on both the community and us is truly profound. I will skip down a bit because he just says a lot of things like, we have the most talented people who are here. We have brought billions of hours of entertainment. It's almost like they're trying to sell it again. Fourth paragraph down. Today, I am pleased to announce that we've been acquired by Amazon. We chose Amazon. It's like a picking your prom date. Because we believe in our community and that they share the same values and long-term vision, and that they want us to help get there faster. We're keeping most everything the same, our office, our employees, our brand, and most importantly, our independence. Well, not really. You're owned by Amazon now. It's not really independent anymore, is it? I mean, they may not mess with you unless you guys screw up or things go a different direction. Then they will. You're not independent anymore. You shouldn't say that. But with Amazon support, we'll have the resources to bring you even better Twitch. It sounds weird if you didn't know what they were talking about. I personally want to thank you, each and every one of the members of the Twitch community, for what you've created, for the faith you put in us, for sticking with us through growing pains and stumbles. Bap, bap, bap. What else? Thank you from a group of gamers who've never dreamed they'd get this far, blah, blah, and help shape the industry. Are they shaping the industry? I guess they are. Quote, it's dangerous to go alone. On behalf of myself and everyone at Twitch, thank you for coming with us. Emmett Shear, CEO of Twitch.tv. I don't know, man. I've not had enough time to wrap my head around this or what it could mean for us as gamers or streamers. So this is a big time, time will tell piece of business. And over the next couple of days, we are bound to hear a lot of thoughts, comments, positions, you know, some people arguing this is the best thing ever. Some saying it's terrible. I don't know where I land yet. I think I feel better than the Google one, but I don't know why I even feel that way. I like Google a lot. I just feel like there were some things that made it not mesh well with YouTube, which is really where Google's money is and where their mind is. So something about that felt funny. This doesn't feel as funny. But I can guarantee you this. Native Twitch app on all those damn Fire tablets. Yay. There is a rumor floating around due to a leaked Super Smash Brothers video showing Bowser Jr., Shulk, and the Duck Hunt dog. You know, the one from this right here. I play it all the time. That dog. If rumors are to be believed, we're not even supposed to be seeing the final roster of Smash Brothers. And we're not even, you know, close to where that total headcount will be. We don't know, right? But a few images of Nintendo's upcoming mascot brawler, they refer to it here as, have surfaced. And they've been collected by NeoGAF, which happens all the time, right? NeoGAF, on the spot. Showcasing lots of new characters. Among these, King Koopa's banana'd progeny, Bowser Jr. Xenoblade protagonist Shulk. It's like Hulk with an S in front. That's what Hulk does after a big Mexican dinner. Has to take a big Shulk. And the dog from Duck Hunt, who I guess has no name. The name and the dog, and the dog from Duck Hunt is literally the dog from Duck Hunt. He does not have a name. Unless you guys know of one. I don't know of one. That's exciting. Yeah, not really. PSN resumes normal service. Maintenance has been rescheduled. So, a few days ago, in between last time we spoke, PSN and Blizzard and the Path of Exile servers, League of Legends servers, so Riot servers and stuff, all got hit with a major DDoS attack, denial of service attack. And it was bad. I should say DDoS is distributed denial of service, right? Is that how it goes? I think I have that right. This occurred early Sunday, August 24th. Shaq News and a bunch of others have reported that, you know, this was going on, that these other gaming services were affected. I can tell you I was having a hard time getting into Diablo the other day. I guess that was yesterday. As a result, it's worth noting that this attack, if it's true, if that's what this came from, but we assume it is because a lot of people are confirming it, is not all that comparable to the 2011 outage on PSN where that thing knocked him out for I don't remember how long. Do you remember how long that was? That was really bad. That compromised systems, that exposed passwords and credit card stuff and all that stuff. This one is much simpler. It's basically just a flood of data at a targeted network, and it makes it so legitimate users can't connect. So if you're having trouble, you are not alone. And it looks like it's all cleared up now. This is not Sony's fault. This is not Blizzard's fault. It's not Riot's fault. This is Douchebag's fault. Xbox also was having some issues, according to some. I'd heard from some players that they were having a hard time as well. So it may have affected Microsoft. But this thing is not nearly as impactful as, say, that targeted attack that just about wiped Sony out for a month or whatever it was. Oh, do you guys remember that? That was so bad. Ooh. All right, to the numbers. Digital downloads account for 92% of PC game sales. This according to PCR Online. Digital downloads represent a whopping 92% of all PC games sold across the world. This according to PCR. This means that physical copies make up less than 10% of PC games globally. Not just here in the States or in the UK. Analyst DFC Intelligence told these guys that digital games made up for 92%. They split. This UK magazine, which is where this is from, splits the word percent into two words. So it's 92 per space sent. It's a little weird, isn't it? And the way they spell color sometimes, color, like all goofy. What's up with you guys? Anyway, this is all PC games in 2013, so this is last year. They expect that number to increase this year and years after this. They did not include, and these stats do not include, sales of hardware or accessories. This is just the games themselves. So extra controllers, any of that kind of stuff, keyboards, mice, whatever, whatever. Doesn't include any of that crap. In the UK, specifically in 2013, £1.18 billion was made from the sale of downloadable mobile console, PC, and tablet games. Well, that's interesting. So iOS and Android's in that. That's an increase of 16.4% over 2012. I wonder, I mean, mobile probably helps skew this number higher, doesn't it? Because that's the only option you have with those. It's not like you can go buy a digital thing. But this says PC game sales. So the way this is written is a little bit weird. But that is a 16.4% increase over 2012. Sizable increase, no matter how you look at them. No matter how you look at them numbers. Oakland's 80-year-old pinball prohibition has ended. Our long national nightmare is over. Well, if you live in Oakland and you consider it a long national nightmare. Pinball wizards in Oakland can rejoice because now they can play the silver ball without worrying about being thrown in the slammer. So this happened last month. The Oakland City Council amended the city's 80-year-old ordinance outlawing pinball. This is really weird. There's very little threat of being prosecuted. This is kind of like your dog can't yawn in the park in public or something. You know how those weird laws exist in every state? It's a bit like that. Like, it's so outdated. Nobody even knew about it. There are pinball machines in Oakland, and there have been for a very long time. I mean, this was put in place in the 30s. Here's a quote from Michael Sheez. I don't know how you say it. He's the founder of the Pacific Pinball Museum in Alameda. That's in California. I certainly know pinball was illegal, but I didn't know it was still illegal, said this guy. Quote, those types of laws aren't really enforced now, he says. This was against pre-flipper pinball. That's weird. Because the flipper-free pinball meant the ball would just bounce around and you just had to kind of hope it went where it went. So you'd lay down money and say, I think the ball's going to go in this hole over here, see? Like that. Because that's how they all talked back then, if old movies are any indication. And when you introduce the flipper, suddenly there's human intervention involved. There's still a lot of luck, right? But you have a greater claim of control over your destiny as a pinball wizard, right? Quote, it was a form of gambling, and there was a lot of money made in pinball gambling, he said. In 1947, that was the year flippers were added to the games, or to the tables. And, of course, that added a level of skill to the game, made them less reliant on chance. Thus endeth the long, storied history of that weirdness in Oakland. PlayStation Home finally turns off its lights in Japan, and it happens in March. Remember that? PlayStation Home still exists on US stuff. You can still get that on the PlayStation 3. I was a little surprised this was not carried over to PS4 because they don't, you know, my understanding was it may not have been popular with core gamers, but it made a bunch of money and was a financial success and was interesting for a lot of people and they had a lot of traffic in there. So I thought it would continue on, but maybe not. Anyway, the PlayStation Home social network will end because that's what it is. March 2015 in Japan. This according to an article on Joystick. Sony announced that the Japanese home announced this on their home website. A translation of the message includes and indicates that the statement that the home service maintained by Sony Computer Entertainment of Europe and Sony Computer Entertainment of America is exempt from the shutdown. This is Japan only. They are done with this weirdness. And when I say weirdness, I had come from a place of experience. I was in home once and there are people in there doing weird things and saying stuff that was wildly inappropriate. And I don't just mean like cussing or something. I mean, like there was some weird, like the stuff. If you've been in there, you know what I'm talking about. People found a use for home. It wasn't what you think. It wasn't going to go race those stupid boats in that park thing in the middle. There was much more going on in and around the world of PlayStation Home. Finally, Phil Fish. You know Phil Fish? crazed maker of Fez. Subject to, what was that game documentary? I already forgot. Eh, whatever it was. Interesting guy. Loses his temper a lot. People don't like him. He gets in fights. He starts giant Twitter wars. He's all involved in this messy thing that I'm not getting involved in at all. Everybody wants me to comment on it, and I refuse to because I don't want to. I want to talk about video games. But this does affect games, what he has done, and it's all in the aftermath of this thing that's been going down. And again, look it up yourselves. I'm not getting into it, not picking sides, not doing any of this stuff. Thing is totally horrible. Anyway, Fish said on Twitter, after all this stuff kind of went down, and by the way, his site got hacked. His Twitter account got hacked, or at least the Polytron, which is their company name that published Fez, got hacked. So he, now that that's all back in his possession or his control, said on Twitter, he's selling Fez, all of its intellectual property, and Polytron, the company, the game company, all of it. He's selling it. And like some kind of weird Twitter ad, said the following, quote, I would like to announce that Polytron and the Fez IP are now for sale, he said on his Twitter account. He later closed with this comment, no reasonable offer will be turned down. I am done. I want out. Why did you get in? I don't understand where his head's at. I understand being frustrated. I understand if it's like a business you went into and went, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. But the rage, man. And it just makes you a target. You're trolling trolls the way you talk online there, Bill Fish. And I really like Fez, so this makes me sad on a game, from a game's perspective, from a player's perspective. I wanted a sequel. They canceled that. I thought the first game was brilliant. And sometimes brilliant things come from slightly erratic people. I was okay with that. Erratic Phil Fish. Why must you do that? Why must you leave? Sometimes there are real artists out there who struggle in some ways, and maybe you just need better people managing it so you can focus on the part you like, which was creating the game. At least I assume that's what you liked. Get out of this PR business. Get out of the public, domain there a little bit and do this stuff on your own. Or rather, not on your own, but do the stuff you love. And then somebody else manage the business side and the PR side. That is a common thing. People do it all the time. All right. Let's get to user reviews and emails. I'm combining them. A whole bunch of you keep asking for these, so I'm going to do them, all right? Just some. Not a ton. Relax. Some of you don't like it. Some of you do. Hey, is anybody here going to Salt Lake Comic Con in 2 weeks? Because I'll be there. I'll have a booth. And I'm recommending you come check it out. I'm in the green section. I forgot my booth number, but I'll tell you next Thursday or Friday. When do we do a show? Thursday. And I'll let you know what it is. Ow. Hit my knee. I would like to give you a friendly suggestion and friendly warning to rein in your expectations for No Man's Sky, says Adam. Listener Adam says this. There is a 2D sandbox crafting game called Starbound. I know, I have it. That is a similar premise. Flying your ship between procedurally generated planets, randomly generated enemies and structures. No two planets are the same, etc. The problem is, once you've played it for about a week, all the planets start to seem the same. Yes, they're slightly different from once. You have seen the jungle planet. You've seen them all. Yes, the trees are a different color and the alien creatures are a little different, but they still have the same feel and it gets boring after about a week. So yeah, there may be a billion possible combinations of planets, but I predict it won't take long for them to feel samey. This is the part I think you've missed some of the previews and stuff, because this is addressed directly by the devs and they have shown in many presentations at E3 and otherwise that this is something on their mind, and it's not as simple as that. It is not like a set number of tile sets that are just going to get repeated all over the place, including creatures and stuff like that. So I would go watch more of the dev demo stuff that they've shown. So I think a lot of your concern there is covered. I mean, Starbound's this 2D looking Minecrafty kind of. What's that other game? Terraria? It's like that. And that's fine, but you're limited there. Putting things in a 3D space, building it all out of these voxels and what do they call it? Ah, crap. It's not just simple polygons, like pre-rendered polygon stuff. I cannot remember the name they use for that tech. Anyway, whatever. That makes a big difference. Anyway, it goes on to say, even though Starbound was had a heavy emphasis on crafting and building Minecraft-like structures, there isn't much incentive to build a damn thing. I just ended up quickly mining a planet for its resources and treasure, crafting new weapons and armor from said resources, and moving to the next planet. I never felt compelled to settle down and build anything. And the faster you move from planet to planet, the faster you get bored with this whole hook of random planets. Well, I don't think there is no like set up camp and stay on one of these planets in the other one. I don't think. I think there's enough differences here. I think you need to raise your expectations. I'll tell you what, I'll lower mine just a tiny bit, Adam, and you just raise yours a tiny bit more. Just a wee bit. Chris W. wrote and says, we've reached a graphics plateau. Hi, Scott. Today's games and games of the near future have outstanding graphics compared to just a short 20 years ago. Well, you think? How about a short 10 years ago? How about a short 5 years ago? But doesn't it seem like we're coming up on a graphical plateau with games looking like Life, Last of Us, Battlefield 4, Far Cry 3, etc.? The question is, where do we get from this? I think you mean, where do we go from this? Will we soon come upon the maximum graphical quality that we can achieve as human beings? Something like if the recent WoW cinematic was actual gameplay? Will game improvements move to adding VR tech to it and expand from there? Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Well, Chris, this is the same conversation everybody has every time. I remember when the 360, PS3, and that era launched, and people went, we've done it. We've hit the max. We've hit the ceiling. Now, at some point, you do experience diminishing returns. You could argue that, although we haven't seen everything they're capable of, but these new consoles and certainly high-end PCs are not all that different than their most recent predecessors. There's significant tweaks and, you know, polish and some other stuff going on, and perhaps in the way of AI or how many things can be on screen at once, and those kinds of things have improved. But overall, the fidelity hasn't changed that much. So yes, there's diminishing returns over time. The giant, huge revolutionary leaps are more evolutionary and more iterative. And that's totally fine, because we're going to have this conversation till we're dead. At some point, somebody said, oh my gosh, have you seen Quake? How can it get better than this? Have we hit the ceiling? No. But they ask this question every time a new console comes out or whatever. It's a fun thing to talk about, but I feel like I've had the conversation about 12 times since I've liked video games. And every time I do, something far greater is just a year or three or five or whatever away. So, yeah, I don't think we've hit a graphics plateau yet. Will we one day? Maybe. We've got a long way to go, though, man. There are a lot of small details and variations in ultra-realistic imagery. If you want to get it to the point where I am fooled into thinking it is one and not the other, we are a long way off from that still. Until we reach that, I think we still have improvement. There's still room to go. Oh, here's the awesomest review ever. This is from Original Sin, or for Original Sin, out now on PC. I've talked about it on the show a little bit. A review on Metacritic from somebody named Big Danny B. Big Danny B gives it a 1 out of 10 on July 28th, 2014. And he says, this will probably be my favorite game of the year. That's weird for a 1 out of 10. But at the moment, it crashes pretty much every time I save. So that's ruining it slightly. You know, like 9 points slightly. Apparently associated with the 32-bit versions of Windows 7. So until they get that beta out, get out of beta, like performance, I'll give it a 1. That was written weird. They also have already been, it says, many updates, which is good to see, but I don't think it should have been released in this state. Can you edit your Metacritic review if a game improves for you? Like, if this guy's having technical issues that are even only his own technical issues, even then, but he later is like, oh, I'm having a hell of a time now. Can he go in there and change it, or does he have to just, like, make a new login or something? I wonder. Highly curious about that.
Greetings, Scott. This is Zero. I just came off an 11-year or so addiction from Final Fantasy XI and Final Fantasy XIV. It's been a week. I'm currently sitting around twiddling my thumbs, not knowing really what to do. What would you advise, besides Diablo 3, of course, for me to play if I kind of like that grind? Thanks.
Oh, man. How have you survived? Actually, I'm not a Final Fantasy guy, so I would ask, how did you do it in the first place? No, the games are fine. Yeah, you know, it's never good if you come out playing a game a lot and you've kind of been dedicated to it, and then you kind of feel like you have nothing to do. I think that's bad. You need to introduce more things for you to do that maybe even aren't video game related. Play some board games with friends, get on a bike, take a ride, you know. I'm not trying to preach at you or anything, but that seems like that's bad. That's not healthy for you to feel that unsatisfied after having a good game experience. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Now, this is obviously a very big shift. You like the JRPGs, obviously, because that's what those games are at their core. I am more of a Western RPG kind of guy. And I am considering cracking open Skyrim and playing through it again, which I know sounds maybe crazy a little bit. But there's a lot of mods now that I want to play with. And I'm just hankering for that world again. So I'd recommend that. It's a nice change of pace, a very different way of approaching things. And it might be just what the doctor ordered in order to kind of get over where you're at with Final Fantasy. And maybe make it the Final Fantasy you play, the final one.
Hey, Scott, Adam from San Francisco here. First off, just wanted to say I love the two-a-week format of their new show, Short and Sweet. It's really good for me, for my community. It helps me keep up to date on what's going on with the news, so keep it up. My question is, don't you think that the microtransactions in the iOS games and these things, it might be getting us back to the early days of video games, back when you had to go to the arcade and you had to pump in quarters to keep playing? It kind of feels a little bit like we're getting back to that. We got out of that for a long time with, you know, the home consoles and all that. But maybe this is actually getting back to the roots of what video games were. Just a thought. Curious to hear what you think. Bye, and keep up the good work.
All right. I have this to play for you. You have got the best call of the week, and here's why. You totally nailed it. But also, you nailed the negative side of it, which is why arcades are not the heyday they used to be anymore. And that is this. When you would sit down or stand up and you would play NBA Jam, okay, that game featured built-in mechanics that rubber banded the competition to the point that no matter how good you are at that game, no matter how skilled you were, toward the end, you would start missing shots for no reason, and they would start making them for no reason. Not only that, they would oftentimes make so many crazy three-pointers with characters that would never shoot from that part of the court, that by the end of the game, you were either losing by two or three and lose, or you would barely eke it out. But it was never fair. And what was that there to do? Drive you to put more quarters in, not to satisfactorily beat the game and walk away. You could do that with older games in the arcade. Like if you played Mario or Donkey Kong, you could genuinely beat the thing, get to the kill screen. If you were skilled enough, it was down to how good you were. Then games started to cheat. So imagine that was like early iOS and Android when it was like a 99-cent game, or it was one that had microtransactions, but not very hard ones. If you were really good, you could do it without it. You know, Hearthstone, a good example of them doing that well still. Then along comes the NBA Jam games and others like that. They're not the only ones. I'm just reminded about how egregious they were. But they made it so you were just having to pump quarters into that thing. And that's the problem with these newer games on tablets and mobile with free-to-play models. A lot of them are nickel and diming you so that you just can't play unless you're willing to throw money at it. That's frustrating to me. That's something we should have gotten away from, not closer back to. So the only two points I would make are this. That is a prescient phone call. You exactly nailed it. Sadly, it's also taken us to a place we don't want to be. Speaking of mobile, let's talk about what I am playing at the very moment. Well, not this very moment. I'm doing the show right now. Star Wars Commander is pretty good. I think I may have mentioned it last week. It's on iOS and Android. It is your freaking Clash of Clans for Star Wars. And I think it's really well made. And I think the free-to-play parts aren't too bad. And it's kind of fun to check in on. And, you know, the idea of taking stormtroopers out, because I went Imperial, taking those guys out along with a couple of AT-ATs or something and destroying a rebel compound is pretty satisfying. Part of it, you know, maybe I'm just excited about Star Wars and coming back and everything. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm having a ball with it, so that's fun. I don't know how much longer I'll play it. These things usually don't last very long for me, but enjoying it while I have it. That's Star Wars Commander on iOS and Android now. Also played a little bit of Unreal Tournament 3 in anticipation for the new Unreal. I cannot wait for Unreal Tournament free to play, whatever it is they're doing. Oh my gosh, I'm so ready for good, new, fantastic Unreal 4 engine-based Unreal. Oh, you guys. Death matches with my... we're going to all have to play. Let's get this going. Let's get some leagues, some kind of league play. Are you guys ready? I'm ready. My body is ready. Anyway, that's exciting stuff there. That's it right now. That's what I'm playing. That's what I'm doing. I mean, the usual stuff. A lot of Diablo here and there. Looks like tomorrow we're going to get that patch. 2.10 will be tomorrow, is all indicators. If that's true, I'm super excited because I like me some new stuff in Diablo. Trying out a new build right now with my wizard and having a ball with that. So there's a lot going on. Still playing that on the console and PC. I have other games I'm playing I can't think of right now. Anyway, try those. You'll be glad you did. Unreal Tournament 3, still extremely cheap and on Steam. Get it like $5 or something. I don't even know. And Star Wars Commander, totally free. Let's get out of here, I think. What do you guys think? That music can mean we can leave now. Frogpants.com/boop is the website. Go there, subscribe, check out the archives. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, @boopshow. Boop show. B-O-O-P show. Let's see, 206-339-1320 is where you can call us on the phone. Be glad to take your phone calls. Boopshow.reddit.com is where you get a lot of the articles we did today. Contribute to our Reddit. You'll be happy you did. You can also cast streaming repeats of this show at alphageekradio.com. Our music by the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra. And Rob over there, he's a freaking genius. You can support this show by buying stuff on the Frog Pants store at frogpants.com/store. And by the way, if you prefer to play these shows or these episodes via the website, frogpants.com/boop, it's all right there. You just hit play and there it is. There's 8 other episodes besides this one. Pretty soon I'll lose count and I'll quit counting them. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll see you on Thursday. Have a great week.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there. Oh.